Hey, y'all give Brother Eric a big old welcome. Pastor's coming too.
He said it was my turn.
We're going to pray for you. Oh.
Is it all right? Yes. Oh, I'll step on it. There you go.
Father, you've called Eric to preach your word. And I ask you in Jesus' name to anoint him this morning with the spirit of grace and the spirit of love. And we're going to thank you for that. Lord, you take over because we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
It's a great deal of love.
Are you going to need this? You're going to
maybe,
need
I don't know.
Say
hello. There we go. Might be a little too hot. I might have to go change it myself.
Let me turn.
No, I don't think it's you. It's me. Y'all give me 2 seconds. I will talk and walk at the same time. One of the things that I really like about this place is that we don't wear masks. I don't like masks. Never have. I don't like disingenuousness. I don't like fakeness. I don't like crap. Really don't. And so, because that is my nature or what have you, it's how God made me and molded me to be that way, it also can work against me. And when I come up before you, I know how much I respect Dave and how much I can listen to him, and God's word's prevalent. It's just there, you know.
Amen.
And I know that that I'm going to hear God's word when he speaks, because his time that he spent in preparation and all that kind of stuff. Well, then you get me. Now me, oh me, me, I am so flawed. Y'all don't even know. My family has an idea a little bit about how flawed I am, about how imperfect that I continue to be on a daily basis. So I'm going to do something up here. I'm going to take off any masks. Okay? So what you see is what you get. I'm very imperfect. I'm very flawed. I make so many mistakes. I can't even count them how many I made just this morning. Okay? But I believe that what I've got to share for you or to you is from the Lord. And so what I'm asking him to do is to use an imperfect vessel like this so that he could speak to your heart. Okay? It's not me. I don't want nothing to do with that. I don't want, honestly, the responsibility of that. That's God's responsibility, okay? And so what I want to present to you this morning, I hope and pray that the words that come out of my mouth would be from his heart to you, okay? I want to speak to you guys this morning and let you know this sermon is completely 100% stolen. It is. It is. I heard this sermon stolen, ripped off, plagiarized beyond belief, except, you know, the guy who did it is a lot better than me. And but when I heard this and heard this teaching, it really spoke to my heart. And it kind of cleared up a lot of things that I had in my mind, in my heart. And so this morning, as I speak to you, I'm going to actually share with you guys a little bit about my testimony, how I came to know Jesus, how he revealed himself to me, and how he has that exact thing in mind for you as well. I want to speak to you first and quote out of 1 Corinthians 13:5. We're going to go into two main places this morning in the Word. We're going to go in the 3rd chapter of John, and we're going to go in the 7th chapter of Matthew. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves." Now, Paul who wrote over half of the New Testament, is writing this to the church. He's not writing it to unbelievers. He's writing it to people who go to the church at Corinth. And he tells them, examine yourselves to see if you are of the faith or that your faith is genuine. I want to ask you to think about the time that you gave your life to Christ. When was that? And what are you basing your eternity on? Because that has everything to do with it. A lot of people say, yeah, I was saved. I was 7 years old. My testimony, I was 7 years old, and there was a little Baptist church in Theroux, New Mexico. And my mama drugged me there, along with my two brothers. And I think it was where Grandma and Grandpa went, right? Yeah, so they lived in Theroux, and we were there. And I heard a sermon. I don't remember exactly what was said at all. But I thought, you know, this Jesus guy seems to have it going on. Seems like he's on the winning team. I better join. He said I ought to go ahead and join the team. And so I did. I walked down the aisle because that's how we rolled in that little Southern Baptist church. So I walked my aisle. I got up out of my chair. I talked to the preacher. I don't even remember who he was. And I said, yeah, I want to be a Christian. I want to get saved. And so about a week later or so, they took me to a church in Grants because the church in Theroux didn't have a baptismal. And they dunked me. And I got dunked. And I got wet. And it was good. Okay? But so that's kind of how I based when I came to know Jesus as my Savior. But today I want to talk to you that there are many people, okay, and the key word here is many, that are basing their eternity not on basically a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but the fact that maybe I go to church. I go to church. That door opens up. I'm there. Yeah. And not only that, that new PayPal system where they're doing their tithe, man, I know how to swipe good. I tithe, right? And so I'm going to tithe my 10% and, you know, not take from the Lord. I also pray. And I pray to God, right? And I believe in God. And I even believe in Jesus. Those are good things. But your only way to heaven is to truly accept Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. Okay? Now, you may be saying, but didn't you just say all that stuff? Let's go to John chapter 3 and let's check this dude out. And it's so funny that you said this morning. And that's how this is gave me some peace that the Lord asked Jack to sing that song, Born Again. And then that's kind of what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about a guy named Nicodemus.
Yeah.
Now, Nicodemus, he was a cool dude. He had his stuff together. And this is a guy who started out and he became a Pharisee. All right, so he's a Jew and he becomes a Pharisee. And you're thinking, okay, Pharisee, that's one of them powerful dudes, right? Yes, it is. He was very powerful. He was also very knowledgeable. All right, so the Pharisees... let me just read it up to you before I start explaining everything. Let's look at chapter 3, verse 1. And there's a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. That's a pretty big thing for a Pharisee to say. That's a very big thing for a Pharisee to say. And we'll go into that here in a minute. It says, your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Jesus replied, thanks for the compliment. I appreciate that. I'm glad someone recognized. No, he didn't say that. He said, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. A.K.A., by the way, you're going to hell. This is what he told him. Jesus told him he's going to hell. Now, I don't know that Nicodemus and Jesus ever had a conversation prior to this. Hi, how you doing? My name's Nicodemus. You're a great guy. And I can see that God sent you. Yeah. My name's Jesus. You're going to hell. Wow. All right. I've never actually had a conversation like that where I've told somebody, hey, by the way, you're going to hell. Didn't say that. But he told Nicodemus that he had to be born of water and of the Spirit. He goes on and he says, verse 4, what do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old... Oh, wait, sorry, I've skipped one. No, I didn't. Okay, good. So what do you mean, verse 4? That's why you got to keep up with me. Exclaimed Nicodemus, how can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of the Spirit. Humans can only reproduce human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. Must. This wasn't a suggestion. He didn't say, and by the way, it's a really good idea if you become born again. He said must. Now, he didn't offer a suggestion, and Jesus knew who he was talking to. Jesus knew he was talking to a Pharisee. Now, these Pharisees, these religious guys, okay, were the cream of the crop. They were up on the top of the hierarchy, on top of the food chain. They were religious, okay? They memorized the first five books of the Bible. Now, I know that may not seem like a big thing because you guys did that a long time ago, but it's kind of a huge deal when you consider just in Genesis alone, there's 50 chapters. Not to mention, they have to go through Numbers, which is like reading the census. And the names and pronounce them all and all that other kind. They memorized the first five books of the Bible. I don't even know what kind of time is involved in doing that. Or the testing that they had to pass. And as a Pharisee, Nicodemus also fasted twice a week. That's about two more times than I do. My fasting schedule there. But take a look at Nicodemus. He believed in the Bible. The Bible is as the inherent, unchangeable Word of God. This has already occurred with him. Okay, that's what you need to understand. This is already there. Nicodemus already believed in the Bible. Nicodemus also attended church. He showed up all the time. He was in the synagogue. So he went to church all the time. He tithed his 10%. He gave his money. He believed in God. And it just wasn't any old God. He didn't believe in Buddha. He didn't believe in Muhammad. He didn't believe in Allah. He believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The right one. He believed in the right God. And what's funny enough is that he also believed in Jesus. He believed in Jesus. He said right there. He says right here that he says, we all know that God sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. This is after Jesus already told them that he was the Messiah, that the scripture in the Old Testament was fulfilled in their presence. He believed it. And so he came up. But yet, Jesus told him, you must be born again. So something was missing. Something was missing. In Matthew chapter 7, I want you to turn there. Matthew chapter 7. Verses 13 and 14. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide. For the many who choose that way. Keyword, many. Many people. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. So, this is not a trick question, but you have two words there, many and few. Is many more than few? Yeah, it's not a trick question. I promise it's not a trick question, okay? Although I'm going to come up with some trick questions, maybe later sermons. I like to do stuff like that. All right? That means many more people will be going to hell than will be going to heaven.
It's true.
It's right here. And I'm not making this stuff up, and it is most certainly not my opinion. And it's a sad fact that many more people will go to the road to destruction than will go to heaven. These are Jesus' words from the Sermon on the Mount, which is one of the most famous ones he ever, I guess the most famous sermon that he ever gave. Have you guys ever been to a funeral where the preacher said, "Old Joe, I'm glad you guys are gathered here. He is in hell." No. You ever been to that? And you know some guys, you're like, yeah, he probably. You know, and you know the deal. And you hear the preacher up there, and I remember going to a funeral. It was Linda's ex-husband's dad or something. You remember that? That crazy guy she married? She married this wackadoodle dude, right? She really did. And his dad died. And I remember it was the saddest funeral I've ever been to because it was the most pathetic. And we went there, and I didn't know this guy. You know what I'm saying? And I can't judge his life one way or another because I didn't know him. But the guy who was up there speaking over this guy's life had known him for a whole 2 weeks. 2 weeks. And this is the main guy speaking about the life of this father. And he'd only known him 2 weeks. It stunk. It was the longest, most drug out, most full of bull service I've ever been to, you know, because you can just tell. And the guy was trying his best. He didn't know him either. But chances are, if this is right and Jesus said it, that guy's more likely in hell than he is in heaven. And that's crazy to think about. Now, in these verses, Matthew chapter 7, let's look at 21 and 23, through 23. Jesus said, "Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me," again, there's that key word, "many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, we've prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name.' But I will reply, 'I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws.'" So I know that there are some people that say, you know, that believe that you can fall away out of your faith, okay? That you could choose to make the Lord your Savior and the Lord of your life and then commit sins or whatever and fall away and be headed down that broad road to destruction again. And I'm not here to debate that, although it's way wrong. So I'm not here to debate that, but I am here to tell you that I don't think people can fall away because Jesus said, "I knew you once, but then we forgot each other. I knew you once, but then you went away." He said, "I never knew you. I never knew you. Never." And so if I never know the Lord, but wait a minute, Jesus, you don't understand. I am a religious man. I have given my money to the church. This preacher talked about buying some land and the mineral rights on the land had been given away to 5 different churches when they bought the, you know, the surface part and they're using it for whatever. And so he was like, wow, this dude must have really loved the Lord. He must have really loved God because he gave out all these property rights to all these churches. But the people in the town knew the guy who gave it. He said, yeah, no. Yeah, that guy was just trying to cover his bases before it happened right before he died. And they gave him all out. Giving out your mineral rights to your property, giving out your money does not make you a believer, does not make you a child of God. We have to know him and be known by him. Okay? These guys worked wonders in Jesus' name. So we're not talking about just people out and about. We're talking about people active in church. They're active. They're doing good things. Casting out demons? I hear that's up on the top of the list. That's some pretty good stuff if you got, you know, the skills or the anointing or whatever. That take, I ain't got it. I ain't casting out nothing. Okay? These guys did. They prayed for people. They did good things in Jesus' name. That wasn't enough. It just wasn't. If many people actively engaged in the work of the church, many are headed down to destruction. What about the people that just come in the door and sit down and then leave when the sermon's over? How many more out of them? And let me ask you this. How many more of the people who show up on Christmas and Easter and then leave? How many more of them are not saved? So why the confusion? Well, Nicodemus was told by Jesus an analogy of birth. He said, you must be born of water and of the Spirit. So a lot of people will say, well, you know, I got saved when I was a child, but I didn't grow, I didn't read my Bible, and I fell away. Then I got involved with some crazy stuff and some crazy girls, and then I finally met my wife, and we get married, and we started having kids, and it's kind of settling down, but you know what? I was miserable, and then one day I just finally sold out, and I gave Jesus everything, and when I did that, I was changed. When I did that, I was changed. So it goes, I was saved. I didn't change. I lived in sin. I was miserable. Then I sold out, and that's when everything changed. Hosea 9:11 says, the glory of Israel will fly away like a bird, for your children will not be born or grow in the womb or even be conceived. Now, he's talking about God removing his glory from Ephraim. But you see the analogy there. So I want to ask you ladies something. Holly and I, you know, we have adopted all of our children, so I need your help on this. When a child is conceived, are they immediately born? That'd be one heck of a night. Right? Holy cow, here's a kid. Right? No, there's a time in between. And what is that time in between conception and birth called? Pregnancy. Growth, right? Did someone say hell? Maybe. I know some cranky pregnant women. They get really upset and mad. Oh, I'll teach you later. You never point. Never point. Even if you're right, you never point. All right, so there's this time between conception and birth. All right, so when someone says, I didn't grow after I was saved, perhaps when you were at that 7-year-old point or whatever, maybe God planted a seed. Maybe God planted that seed in your life and it took time to grow. When a woman gets pregnant, and especially right when she's, you know, going to be giving birth, is she a pleasant person?
No.
No. No. She can be hot-natured maybe, a little cranky, slightly uncomfortable. Slightly miserable? Is that better? Very miserable? Yes, Christy? Yes? Okay. Very miserable. So you're not very miserable, though, right at the point of conception. You know what I mean? Like, when that little baby is, like, that big or whatever, that's not very uncomfortable. It's when they're a bowling ball, right? And it's time to get out of my body, right? Get out, and you're very uncomfortable. So I see women walking around when they're pregnant and stuff so they can, like, when the moon is full. There's all kinds of crazy theories, you know, like, and they're jumping up and down. get out of my belly, and doing all these things so that that birth can occur and as quickly as possible. So that's kind of how what I'm talking about here, that that seed may be planted, and there's that time of growth through the pregnancy, but there comes a time that you need to have that birth. Now, you take a look at Nicodemus. Nicodemus, as a young man, I don't think he was forced into being a Pharisee. I don't imagine him being, and I could be wrong, I don't know that much about the history of all that stuff, but I got to think, as a young man, that he was interested in the things of God, that he wanted the things of God, okay? And so he did whatever they do to sign on the dotted line to become a Pharisee, and he memorized and did all the works and everything that it took to become a Pharisee. But yeah, he wasn't born again. But that seed was growing in him. Why else would he have gone to Jesus? He didn't have to go to him. He'd already arrived and made it to the top without him. But he came to Jesus because that growing, that yearning, that groaning was occurring in his heart. The Holy Spirit was speaking to him. Go see Jesus. Go see Jesus. Go see Jesus. Well, some of the people, you know, when he came and he saw Jesus, it reminds me kind of us that when we go see the Lord and he says something like, you know, you got to be born again, it tells me that we need to give Jesus everything, control of our lives. I don't know if you're like me, but there's been times that I've said when I was young, I got saved, but it did not change. I think that's a little bit of a bad theology because the responsibility, and I always see change as the evidence, you know what I mean? Like, I think it was Caleb and we were talking about somebody and they were saying that they were saved. Jameis Winston, right? He got saved like last year, right? Okay. So I didn't know that. Jameis Winston, by the way, is an NFL quarterback, plays for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, won the Heisman and the national championship with Florida State. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. So I was like, well, that's good. That's great. We'll see the fruit. If that's the truth, we'll see the fruit. Well, Dad, what do you mean? Well, when somebody gives their life to Jesus, there's a change. There's a change that occurs. Okay? But a lot of people think, well, if I get saved, and I got saved here at this point, but I didn't change, and then I got miserable, and then I sold out, and that's when things happen. I think that's kind of backwards. I think that when Jesus comes into your heart, you do have change. But here's the good news with it. It's not your responsibility. It's not. It is not on your shoulders to make changes. It's not. It's on His. And that's the beauty of the gospel. That's why I love Jesus so much. Because, guys, I tried to change. I tried. I tried so hard. When I was a young man, I gave my life to the Lord when I was 7 years old. I got baptized. I remember it. I remember the event. Okay, I don't remember what day it was. And I don't think you have to remember the day. Although some people do. And that's great. I don't remember the day. Okay, I remember, though, when I was 14, and my mom and dad had a pop-up camper outside of our house, and I was reading the Word. And it was the first time that hit me that Jesus actually died for me, that He died, that He suffered a death for me. And that was a memory. That was a moment. I know right where I was in that pop-up camper on the side of our house in maybe Abilene. I remember that. And then I remember when I was 16. And I went up to some Baptist encampment in Golden, New Mexico. By the way, totally recommend it. It's awesome if they're still doing stuff like that. And I remember that the Lord spoke to my heart and He told me that He was going to make me a preacher. I remember it. I thought He was nuts then too. I remember all these things. All right, these are events that happened in my life. And afterward, I thought, well, if I'm going to do all this stuff and I want to live that life, I got to make these changes, right? I got to do this stuff, all right? This is the problem. When I was born, and we all were headed the wrong way. We're headed the wrong way. This is how we were born. This way is the broad and wide road to destruction. Sorry, y'all are in hell. Right? No, you're not. Sorry, you are. This way is hell. And everything that we do, like when you get a kid, you don't have to teach that kid to lie. How many times has Tucker lied to you? How many times has Hunter, the little two-year-old, lied to you? Plenty. Why? Because we don't have to teach them that. They know. They know. Holly can cuss like a sailor at school. I know. Okay, it's easy. We're built that way. But I thought, man, I got to change my life. So I'd go, yep, like that. I'm doing good. It's making a difference. I'm making that change. As soon as I let the pressure off, right back. And there came a time in my life, I got really sick of doing this on my own. I got really sick of it, guys. I can't even tell you how sick and how angry I was at the Lord. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me that you have all these stinking rules and I can't follow them. You have too many rules. And I told him this. I was praying to him. And I'm like, you got too many rules. I can't do it. I try. And I'm tired of failing. I'm tired of it. I was mad. And I told the Lord, and I shook my fist up into his face. And I told him to suck eggs. I'm going to do what I want to do. Because at least that way I know how to follow my own rules. And that's what I did. And I kept going down this way because I couldn't do it. It wasn't up to me. I don't have all that. I don't. I was mad. So I just kept on going. And through all that stuff, I kept on getting miserable. I kept on making choices that kept leading me down that road. And that road sucked. That road was horrible. That road left me in I could call it the Trail of Tears. As I made so many mistakes in such a short amount of time. Then God, who was sitting there watching me all along, who loved me all along, who accepted me all along, kept tugging at me. I love you. I love you. I love you. I don't want to follow your rules. I love you. I love you. I love you. Shut up! I love you. I love you. I love you. All the whole time. And there came a time in 1994-ish. I think it was probably right in 94, maybe 95. Down south of Midland, off Canter Road 150, there's a pump jack. I was staying with my brother at the time. And he kept on talking about this Jesus that I never knew. I didn't never know him. This Jesus was like real in somebody's life. He wasn't religious. It wasn't any of that other garbage, you know, that you had to be good and don't you do this and don't you do that and don't you do the other. And you better do this and you better do that and you better dress this way and you better do this. There was none like that. And I started hearing about this and the Lord just kept on tugging on my heart. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And so out in the middle of the field with a cigarette in my hand, sat out there, and I was talking to the Lord. I said, look, if you want this, I give it to you. I give you every bit of it, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you every bit of who I am and what I do and every part of my heart, and I'm going to give that. And if you mess it up, it's your fault. I told him that just that way. If you mess it up, it's your fault. Because I can't follow the rules. That's what he did. Right then. He changed my polarity of my heart. He changed it. I really liked going over here. I was good at it. I liked it. Guys, I liked it. Yeah. Everybody who's honest, yeah, I like that over there too. Okay? Made me miserable. God changed me. Made me put my want to over here. He put my want to over here. Are you kidding me? He changed the polarity. And I don't know if you know like a lot about magnetism and stuff, and you get a magnet and you put two magnets next to each other and they could go whap. Or if you turn this one around, they repulse each other, right? Well, the things that used to attract me, I was now repulsed by them. And the things that I would repulse, like all those stinking rules in the stupid church and all that other garbage, I was now violently attracted to. That's what I wanted. What's the difference? Jesus changed my heart, man. He changed my heart. I didn't do nothing but say, that's it. I give up. I'm done. I ain't got no more. That's what I said. I was over it. Done. Finished. And to this day, I never regret telling him, if you screw it up, it's your fault. Because he was like, yeah, I already knew that. Watch me now. Watch what I do now. I have to figure out where the heck I am in all these notes. Because this is none of that was in here. This is a good one. So what about you? Going that way? Do you want to go that way? How do you do it? How do you do it? 1 John 5:13 says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. You know. Some of you guys may have heard a speech or a sermon like this or whatever and thought, you know, man, I ought to get that squared away. So, Lord, if I need you, save me. And the problem with that is that you got to say that a lot. You got to say it a whole bunch. Lord, if you're out there and it's true, save me. It doesn't work. It doesn't fit. Because it's like kind of like saying, well, God, if I'm a sinner, then save me. But if not, never mind. If not, never mind. You gotta take back on that. You gotta go. You got a way out. And that is not the way that Jesus comes and says, I know you. Because there's no other way out for me. My fate is sealed, guys. It's done. Where I'm going is already done from the beginning of time and to forevermore. I will be with him. I'm with him now. He's with me. I know that, and I'm going to be with him. There's no out for me. They burn the ships. My boys have heard me talk about that a lot of the time. One of the explorers showed up on one of the shores of some land looking for gold. It was, I forget the names of the guys. Who? Did you know? Tell me. Cortez. All right, good Cortez, Spaniard. I knew that at least. So the men he brought over with him, they get there, and a lot of them didn't have the stomach for what they were going to be called on to do. And a lot of them made noise like, hey, you know what? We just need to jump in them ships and head back to Spain. That's our way out. Cortez burned the ships. He says, now, survive or die. There is no other way. There is no escape. There is no second chance. This is what we're doing or you will die. And the rest is history. Some of it not so good. But it's still, that commitment was there, because now what were they going to do? They had no other choice. Move on or die. A lot of people think about their relationship with the Lord, and like I said earlier, they think they have to date. You know, I have a date or whatever. You don't have to do that. Although a lot of you... How many people know the date? Like, you know, like January 5th, 1912, like for Pat, you know, and stuff like. How many of you know the date? Yeah, me neither. I see some half-hearted hands. That's okay. I saw them. So I don't know the date either. But let me tell you about the relationship with Jesus, how I think is a really good illustration. Because Jesus talked about pregnancy, so let's put it in the context of marriage. When people were talking, when talk about getting saved and stuff, and you know, you can ask them, well, I don't know, might have been when I was 7, might have been when I was 14, might have been when I was 16, it might have been, man, I don't know, 94, might have been 23. Might have, what if I said, hey, Eric, are you married? Well, that's a hard one. It might have happened when I was 7. Might have happened when I was like 14. No, 23, something like that. Guys, you can forget the day you were married once. Only once. Yeah. You'll be reminded of that. But whether or not you even remember the day, there's a lady living in my house. And she keeps telling me what to do. She's there. And she talks to me all the time. And I live with her. And we share a home. And we have kids. There's some evidence that we're connected. That I know her and that she knows me. So I have a problem when somebody says, well, it might have been this and it might have been that, and I might have got saved here or might have got saved there. Don't you think you ought to have that nailed down? Don't you think you should see the evidence of that? Now, some people will say, hey, look, everybody's experiences aren't the same. Yeah, that's true. But Jesus is the same. Jesus is the same. That's what I love about him. Like when my life gets crazy and turned upside down, I can look up at the moon, I look up at the stars because I know a lot about astronomy and stuff, and I will look up there and I see that that's exactly the same as it was when I was born. It's not really like they move and, you know, that kind of, but from this perspective, it's up there. And so it reminds me of God's unchangingness, how he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And that gives me a lot of peace when things around me are changing all the time. If you've met Jesus, you know it. You just know it. If the creator and the sustainer of the entire universe lives within you and speaks to you, you know it. You know it. If you don't know for sure, it makes me wonder if you're not saved. If you don't know that Jesus lives with you, it's like me not knowing whether or not I'm married. That would be something I would want to nail down. So, what about you? All this stuff. What about you this morning? Do you know that you know that you know that Jesus lives in your heart? Do you know that you're saved? Do you know that if you're going to die today, and I don't know, I always hear that from preachers and it sounds so cheesy, but I want you to really think about that. Like, if today was my last day, and somehow, whatever way, by the time midnight rolls around, I won't be here, do I know where I'd be? Do I know where, like, what would happen to me? Do I know where my soul would be for eternity? Would I be part of that wide road that leads to destruction and that many are on? Or would it be on that narrow way that's more difficult and know that I'm headed for an eternity with my Lord? There's no two ways about it, guys. And I don't know, I try to figure out all kinds of clever ways, you know, and trying to read scripture and read the word and figure out, man, there's got to be some decent way of convincing you. And God reminded me it wasn't me that convinces anybody of anything anyway. It was him. So I really don't think I need to expound upon that stuff. If you know that you know that you know that you are saved, that's good. That's good. But don't put that on that I go to church, or that I'm active, or that I give money, or whatever other stuff. You don't base it upon that. You base it upon whether that active, living, creator of our soul is with living within our hearts and communing with us. Because that's what he wants.
Amen.
That's what he wants. He wants you. He wants all of you. He doesn't want half of you. He doesn't want religious you. He does not like religious you. Religious you sucks anyway. You're not good at it. Because the Lord knows I'm not. I can't do religious. I got to do relation. I got to do relationship with my Lord. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes because I don't want you looking around. And I'm doing this on purpose. And what I want you to do right now is business with God. This morning when we're gathering here and stuff, and yeah, it's the end of the roundup, and yeah, it's what we normally do on a Sunday, but this ain't no normal Sunday. This just ain't. If God's wanting to do business with you, he's not shy about showing you that. He wants to show you his love. He wants to give you life, and not just little life, not just making your own old crap good. He wants to give you newness of life. He wants to give you his love, and not just the little love that you think you've experienced so far. He wants to relish it upon you. He wants to give you every bit of his love because he sings over you. He thinks about you more than the sand that is on the beach. He has thoughts toward you. He's ridiculously in love with you. And he wants to not just keep that to himself. He wants to explore that love within your heart. He wants to have that back and forth with you because it gives him ultimate joy and ultimate glory when somebody says, yes, I will walk the narrow way and I will walk the thin road that few will go because I want you and you want me. If this is your day to do business with God, I want you to put your hand up. If you're here to do business with God, you put your hand up. I see it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You do business with God, God's going to do business with you 100% of the time because he is always faithful. Even when we're faithless, he is faithful, for he cannot deny himself. It's who he is, not what he does. So if you want to do business with the Lord, let's do it. You pray with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you and I leave it all at the table. I leave nothing back. It is yours. What you do with it is up to you. I give you my heart and I give you my life. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. It's all up to you. And I come to you. I believe that you gave your life for me. And I accept you as Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's just that simple. The deal is, guys, is that when you do business with the Lord, he's always faithful and he's always true and he will make the changes happen. Remember that you don't have to make the changes yourself. Those don't ever last. You know, just never last. Let him change you. That's what I love about Western Heritage churches. You know, I'm so not a cowboy. I'm really not a cowboy. I'll never be a cowboy. I won't ever look like a cowboy. I do have a cowboy hat and I have some boots. That's about it. What I love is the second chances. What I love is no masks, that you can be yourself. You don't have to put on that mask when you come to church and say, yeah, I got it all together. Nailed it. Because if you do, you'll be the first of us. We don't got our stuff together. We're walking with Jesus all the time. And he's taking the reins with us all the time. And he's using crazy, foolish people like us to do the work of the gospel.
Amen.
It's good.
Amen.
It's good.
Amen.
Now, this is the deal. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. Okay? And then God raised him from there, you'll be saved. If you don't confess before people, the Bible says that Jesus won't confess you before the Father. So that's an important part of this, okay? We pray the way we do and stuff on Sunday mornings because I think it really is effective in that we don't want to embarrass you. We don't want to, you know, like, I don't know, I felt really weird even when I was 7 years old and I didn't know a hill of beans when I'm coming down the thing. It was kind of a strange thing for me to do. You know, it took a lot of, like, courage and stuff. Well, we want you to be able to confess Jesus in front of people and well. And so what we do to do that is these green sheets that are here. And so when you fill out these green sheets and you say, yeah, I accepted the Lord for the first time or I want to talk to the pastor, that's how that's done. You know what I mean? And so that's a way we can use that. If you want to come up after the end of service, that's another way. You know what I mean? Like if you want to jump up in front and come down here, pray, get it done. I don't care. It don't matter. Don't matter. Hill of beans. Let's do it. But that's a way for you guys to do that. And I want to encourage you to do so. You can fill out that green sheet. If you have prayer requests and stuff, they pray over those on Wednesday nights. You can leave them right there in your seat. We'll get to them. You can bring them up here to me or to Pop. That'd be great. But I want to give the Lord glory for what he is doing because I see what he's doing in you guys. Like I could see some of the stuff that he's like, how little ways that he's working in you. And that... I don't know, it makes me feel not only proud, but like lucky to be around that. You know what I mean? So I do really feel that way. But why don't you guys stand with me? Those of you, I do want to say this, that there may be somebody in here that you still need to do business with the Lord. If that's you, okay, do not leave here before you do business with him. If you need help in doing business with God, come up here. I mean, I'm not perfect, but I'll help. Okay? Let's do that, all right? Don't let Satan steal this from you. Don't let him steal this from you because he'll do everything he can in his power to block you from what I talked about, that interactive love between you and God because it hurts God's heart and that's what he wants to do. He doesn't give a crap about you. He wants to hurt God. So don't let today pass you by. Okay? Heavenly Father, we come before you so grateful for your love, so grateful that you have made every way possible for us to come to you so that we can not only know you but have life and life more abundant within you, Lord, a future, a hope, Lord, that we have a present right now, Lord, where we can interact with you and where you teach us and flip us around and make our want-tos different, Lord. God, just work that in our hearts. Teach us your ways. Give us the strength and the power to walk in them as we walk with you. I pray a blessing over everybody who can hear my voice right now, Lord, that you would take care of them, that you would show them your mercy, your forgiveness, your love, that you would show them that you understand how they think and how they feel. Lord, that you would show them your all-sufficient self, just how enough you really are. And Lord, as we go out, we will give you the glory. Teach us, lead us. And we love you. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
And normally I would start music, but I'm up here.
Listen, what I'd like for you to do is just sit down for a minute, if you would, please. We got to get the table set back there for the feed.
What time is it?
And some of us have this habit of getting in people's way when they're trying to put stuff out. So we'll stay here a minute. May I invite you? The store is open over there. And I tell you, Jack and Debbie would love you to go over and have a look at what's there. Did you miss something?
Yeah, I am so sorry for going so long. I'll make it up on Sunday night. Not tonight, though. We're not having church tonight. Next Sunday night. So short. It will be micro.
Yeah, okay. You learn not to do that.
Well, I just... Usually I'm not so long-winded.
There's some good stuff over here on this table. All of that goes to the folks to help them in their ministry. I invite you to go. All the music that you might want to purchase and be able to play at home is there as well. So please go by there and have a look at that. And if you just can't wait any longer, it would be all right if you went back there and visited the cowboy hat. You know what I'm saying? Went back there and visited the cowboy hat for a minute and did that kind of business with the Lord too. I want to ask you something. Is this a beginning or is this an end? Say what?
Beginning.
Somebody, you want to vote? Okay, how many of you want this to be a beginning? Say amen.
Amen.
Well, that's a little better. Okay, that's good. It is a beginning. I've been in a lot of places, folks, where we had this fever, but it was followed by a chill, and we don't want to do that now, okay? All right, so we're going to get it done. Can you just, let me say this. There's been some folks who've been spending a lot of time out there under the roof preparing you a meal like you won't believe. And we appreciate them, don't we? Where are they? There's one. You can see him. Here's another one over here. Who else is? I know there's been more than two. Anybody else? Where are you? Oh, they're out there. They're busy. Well, we appreciate them and love them more than you can think, and we want you to know that. And all you ladies who've been cleaning up and getting things straightened out and ready for the next time around, know you are much, much appreciated. So we're going to bless the food now. They're going to have it on the table, and then we're going to have that great fellowship around those tables again, and we really look forward to it.